Thank you, Mark.
I greet each of you in the name of Jesus Christ. I know that next Sunday is our rally, and it's on how the love of Christ shows in our lives and how it is expressed in our lives. And I'd like to talk about that. And yet, that was not the burden that was on my heart when our brother Dan asked me to preach. And the more I've struggled with the burden that was on my heart, I feel to share that burden with you and the lessons that I have learned in that. I guess it's a sign of getting old. I wanted to deal with a prophecy. I've always thought the prophecies were difficult, understandable. They're not easily for me. I don't know world history well. I don't have a good grasp on the prophecies, and so it's been very easy to ignore them. But I guess I'm getting old because I feel like I need to, and indeed we do need to. There are some lessons in prophecies that we need to gather and understand. Prophecies are not to be able to say that in September of 2020, we will be in World War III. It's not for specifics, but there is still this overwhelming message that's given in prophecy that we need to glean. There have been huge mistakes throughout world history over prophecy. Abraham was given a prophecy that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through his seed. And so he didn't have any children. So he had to help God out. And he fathered a child by Hagar. And that's caused a total difference in the whole world's history. The children of in Jerusalem, the house of Israel, the Jews primarily, had all kinds of prophecies of who their Redeemer was going to be. He was going to be born of a virgin. He was going to be born in Bethlehem. They had all the specifics. And so they had in their mind exactly what he was to do. He was to lead them out from the Roman oppression. They had to help God out. And they killed their Redeemer because they didn't understand the message was of hope and of joy. But they had to deal with the specifics. And Jesus didn't fit what they thought the specifics were. So as we cross into a new decade of 2020, we look at what are we doing, what's our purpose, where are we going, and where have we been. I'm going to read the 9th and 10th chapter of 3 Nephi. It's a long read. I may make them points, and so another sign of old age is that you get wordy and lengthy, and I'm hoping that I can keep this under control, but I would like to begin with the 43rd verse of the third chapter, or the ninth chapter of 3 Nephi. Now there had been no bread, neither wine brought by the disciples, neither by the multitude. But he truly gave unto them bread to eat and also wine to drink. And he saith unto them, He that eateth this bread and drinketh, he that eateth this bread eateth of my body to his soul, and he that drinketh of this wine drinketh of my blood to his soul, and his soul shall never hunger nor thirst, but shall be filled. This is Jesus. 2 days into his ministry here upon this continent, after his resurrection, and he's speaking to a group of people who have been through a chaotic terribly stressful period where the world was turned upside down for the most part for them. They lost many, many of their loved ones. And these are two different nationalities. There's the Lamanites and the Nephites mingled. And these are the more righteous that were saved. And Jesus has come the second day, and he begins by identifying himself. No one but the Son of God could say, "Eat of my flesh to your soul. Drink of my blood to your soul." And he saith unto them, "He that eateth this bread eateth of my body to his soul, and he that drinketh of this wine drinketh of my blood to his soul, and his soul shall never hunger nor thirst, but shall be filled." Now when the multitude had all eaten and drunk, behold, they were filled with the Spirit, and they did cry out with one voice and gave glory to Jesus, whom they both saw and heard. And that is our responsibility. Is to share this love of Jesus. Behold, behold, they were filled with the Spirit, and they did cry out with one voice and gave glory to Jesus, whom they both saw and heard. And it came to pass that when they had all given glory unto Jesus, he saith unto them, "Behold, now I finish the commandment which the Father hath commanded me concerning this people, which are a remnant of the house of Israel." And there he identifies who he's talking to. He's talking to the house of Israel, actually the Lamanites and the Nephites upon this land. "Ye remember that I spake unto you and said that when the words of Isaiah shall be fulfilled, behold, they are written, ye have them before you, therefore search them." That is given as a commandment to search Isaiah and the prophets. Later on, he'll say that. One thing I probably should mention to you in these two chapters, Christ gives a prophecy, and he explains the prophecy through how Isaiah had given it. He goes through it, and then he repeats it, and he adds new detail, and he repeats it, and he adds new detail. So we're going to hear this same little bit of prophecy several times, different aspects of it, with new information. One goal that I have today is for you to leave not knowing as much as when you came in those doors. Now that may be an improper way of putting it, but I want us to understand that when we study prophecy, we don't have to say, "I know that it means this." And so I don't want you to go home saying, "The 9th chapter and 10th chapter say this, and I know that this is what's going to happen." Because we put anchors down, we get in our own mind what it's saying, and then we will be like the Jews and we will miss our Redeemer. Verse 48, "And verily, verily, I say unto you that when they shall be fulfilled," and this is talking about the prophecies of Isaiah, "that when they are fulfilled, then is the fulfilling of the covenant which the Father hath made unto his people, O house of Israel. And then shall the remnants which shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth be gathered in from the east and from the west and from the south and from the north, and they shall be brought to the knowledge of their Lord, their God, to the knowledge of the Lord, their God, who hath redeemed them." There is a repeated concept of this gathering in of the children of Israel. That has begun, but not anywhere near to the extent that it's going to take place, because they have not been brought to the knowledge of their Redeemer. They've been brought some have been brought back a small amount. The nation of Israel has been established, but and is occupied by the Jews, but it's not, they have not been brought to the knowledge of the Redeemer. Verse 50. "And the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you this land for your inheritance." He switched from the remnants, talking now to the Lamanites and the Nephites, and he's given them this land for their inheritance. And then he comes up kind of just out of the blue, it seems like to me, but it's of interest. And I, in verse 51, "And I say unto you that if the Gentiles do not repent after the blessing which they shall receive, after they have scattered my people, then shall ye, which are a remnant of the house of Jacob, go forth among them." That is the message to you and to me, that the Gentiles must repent. We're going to find out more about this, but it's a call to repentance. To us, specifically. Now, you kind of want to know a little bit more about this, and he gives us some more, but we don't have to know exactly what he's saying. He says, if the Gentiles do not repent after the blessings which they shall receive. What blessing? I don't know. After that they have scattered my people. When did we scatter the house of Israel? It started back 730 BC when the Persians took over the northern kingdom. It continued in 548, I think it was. My world history is bad, and I can't remember. So, but the Babylonians came in and took Jerusalem. It continued in 70 AD when the Romans took Jerusalem and destroyed it. It continued in 1492 when Columbus came to the United States or to the Americas, and he brought disease and it plundered their gold, and then our nation came into being in 1776, and around 1830, a date that we kind of know, let me go here to another one. This is will help me out here. May 1830, the Removal Act was passed by our Congress, and it was to remove the Indian from down in Florida and take them to Oklahoma. In September, there was a treaty that was the first removal treaty that kind of forced that issue. 1835, there was the Ecota Treaty that was more mandatory, and it eventually forced the Trail of Tears. That I think the Trail of Tears occurred in 1835. There was a war that we fought with the Seminole Indians down in Florida area. What I was surprised at is in 1956, there was our last act of Congress, the Indian Relocation Act, and it was to encourage the Indian to disseminate themselves amongst our urban population. Now, that doesn't mean anything that I can guarantee. But what it does do is put some information behind this statement, after that they have scattered my people. That wasn't complete until 1956, or maybe it's now still not complete. I don't know. But we want to say that this blessing that was the book of, coming forth of the Book of Mormon. And maybe it was. And maybe it wasn't. I don't know. Let me read on here. And verse 52. "And ye shall be in the midst of them, which shall be many, and ye shall be among them as a lion among the beasts of the forest, and as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he goeth through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver." But there is an overriding message, and that is, if the Gentiles do not repent, then the house of Israel will go forth among them as a lion among sheep. That's talking to you and to me. Verse 53. "Thy hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And I will gather my people together as a man gathereth his sheaves unto the floor. For I will make my people with whom the Father hath covenanted. Yea, I will make thy horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass. And thou shalt beat in pieces many people." And what does that mean? I don't know, but it doesn't sound good when you're on the receiving end. And I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. And I find that very interesting. He's saying that he is going to take what the Gentiles have, our substance, and it's going to be given to God. So all this stuff that we have is going to be taken and given to God. But we have an opportunity to repent. But there is still something that's very important in this, and that's the next statement. And behold, I am he that doeth it. We don't have to form a committee. We don't have to vote on this. God is going to do it. Verse 56. And it shall come to pass, saith the Father, that the sword of my justice shall hang over them at that day, and except they repent, it shall fall upon them, saith the Father, yea, even upon all the nations of the Gentiles. There is another little quirk that I hadn't picked up on. It's not just the United States. He's talking about the sword of justice falling upon all the nations of the Gentiles. So, is it going back to when I'm looking at this scattering of the house of Israel? Does it go back to 730 BC or 586 BC or 70 AD? That's when all the nations of the Gentiles were involved in scattering. I don't know. I have my opinions, but I don't know. At least not now in this discussion. Verse 56. Well, let's see. 57. And it shall come to pass that I will establish my people, O house of Israel. And we'll see that this is a repeated statement over in different ways of that God is going to establish people and to do certain things and in certain situations, but he's establishing it. Verse 58, and behold, this people will I establish in this land. And when he's talking about this people, he's talking about the Lamanites and Nephites. He will establish in this land unto the fulfilling of the covenant which I made with your father Jacob. And it shall be a new Jerusalem, and the powers of heaven shall be in the midst of this people. Yea, even I will be in the midst of you. And that's the end of the prophecy. He's warning the Gentiles that they must repent, that he's going to bring the house of Israel into its a land of inheritance, and that he is the one that's going to do this. But now we're going to cycle to the second rendition, or his second expression of this same prophecy. Verse 60. Behold, I am he of whom Moses spake, saying, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. He again identifies who he is. I'm going to skip some verses because I'm going to run out of time. I'm going to go down to 63rd verse. And behold, ye are the children of the prophets, and ye are the house of Israel, and ye are the covenant which the Father made unto your fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. The Father having raised me up unto you first, and sent me to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities, and this because ye are the children of the covenant. So he identifies who he's talking to, the house of Israel, and then he brings this part in, that he was sent to the house of Israel to be a blessing to them. Now, is that the blessing that we referred to back there in 51? I don't think so, because he's talking to the house of Israel. Back there, he was talking to the Gentiles. But let's go on. And after that ye were blessed, then fulfilleth the Father the covenant which he made unto Abram, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed unto the pouring out of the Holy Ghost through me upon the Gentiles, which blessing upon the Gentiles shall make them mighty above all. Is that the blessing? Maybe. I don't know. Okay, let's go on there. I'm going to start in the middle of that verse. Which blessing upon the Gentiles shall make them mighty above all unto the scattering of my people, O house of Israel, and they shall be a scourge unto the people of this land. So that doesn't quite fit then, does it? Because now we're talking about the United States scattering the Lamanites and Nephites upon this land. And so if it was the blessing of Christ, that happened clear back at 30 AD, and this doesn't happen until 1900s. So what's the blessing? I still don't know. Verse 66, nevertheless, when they shall have received the fullness of my gospel, then if they shall harden their hearts against me, I will return their iniquities upon their own heads, saith the Father. Aha! So it is the Book of Mormon, the coming forth of the Book of Mormon, because we have to repent. And when they shall have received the fullness of my gospel, then if they shall harden their hearts against me, I will return their iniquity upon their own heads. That's to us. The time is ticking. It's 2020. And we've been called to repent. We know that it's not over with, this window of opportunity, because we're still here, and the Lamanites have not gone through amongst us. But there is more to be learned from this. Verse 67, and I will remember the covenant which I made with my people, and I have covenanted with them that I would gather them together in mine own due time, that I would give unto them again the land of their fathers for their inheritance, which is the land of Jerusalem, which is the land promised unto them forever, saith the Father. And it shall come to pass that the time cometh when the fullness of my gospel shall be preached unto them, and they shall believe in me that I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and shall pray unto the Father in my name. Then shall their watchmen lift up their voice, and with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. That hasn't happened completely. We have gotten the fullness of the gospel was brought to us through the Book of Mormon. There has been a little gathering of the house of Israel, but not anywhere near to the extent that it must. And they still don't believe in the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 71. Then will the Father gather them together again and give unto them Jerusalem for the land of their inheritance. Then shall they break forth into joy, sing together ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Father hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. And I'm going to skip now down to 77. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that my people shall know my name, yea, in that day they shall know that I am he that doth speak. So this gathering together is going to bring together a joyous time of the house of Israel. And the house of Israel will know his name, and they will know that he's the one that's speaking. They will know that God is the one that's doing this. And so there's no glory given to any people or person other than Jesus Christ. He will get the glory because he is the one that's doing this. But this prophecy is very much for the Gentiles, and it is if they will repent, they can be numbered amongst the house of Israel. If they do not repent, the sword of his justice hangs upon over them. Let's go on with verse 78. And then shall they say, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bringeth good tidings unto them, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings unto them of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And then shall I cry, go forth. Depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch not that which is unclean. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean, and bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor by a flight. But the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel shall be your rearward. I don't know what all this means. There's a lot of prose in this, and it's pretty, and all I'm saying, or that I can gather, is it's going to be a glorious time, and they're to be clean. Behold, then at this joyous time, he throws in another little tidbit that, where did it come from? Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And as many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. You classify or give that the marred servant. What does that mean? Who is he? What is this? I don't know. And I don't have to know. Could this also be the blessing that was referred to back in verse 51? I don't know. 83. So shall he sprinkle many nations, that the kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Verily, verily, I say unto you, all these things shall surely come, even as the Father hath commanded me. Again, God is in control. He knows. I don't have to know the very details of all this. But I need to know the prophecies, because he set, gave us a commandment to search them, to try to know them. Not to know what they mean, not to have the interpretation down, but to know the prophecies. Verse 85. Then shall this covenant, which the Father hath covenanted with his people, be fulfilled. And then shall Jerusalem be inhabited again by my people, and it shall be the land of their inheritance. And verily I say unto you, I give unto you a sign, that ye may know the time when these things are about to take place, that I shall gather in from their long dispersion my people, O house of Israel, and it shall establish again among them my Zion. And behold, this is the thing which I have given to you for a sign. For verily I say unto you, that when these things which I declare unto you, and which I shall declare unto you hereafter of myself and by the power of the Holy Ghost, which shall be given unto you of the Father, shall be made known unto the Gentiles. When did that happen? When did the Gentiles find out what Christ told the Lamanites and Nephites? It was when the Book of Mormon came forth. So that's the beginning of this sign. But it's not the total part of it. And they may... I'm sorry, let me go back here. I shall declare unto you hereafter of myself, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, which shall be given unto you of the Father, shall be made known unto the Gentiles, that they may know concerning this people, which are a remnant of the house of Jacob, and concerning this my people, which shall be scattered by them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when these things shall be made known unto them of the Father, and shall come forth of the Father from them unto you, for it is wisdom that the wisdom in the Father that they should be established in this land. I'm probably muddling this more than I should, but the information that Christ is giving the house of Israel, the Lamanites and Nephites, it was to come from them, which it was being given to them right at that moment when Christ was here upon this continent. That information has to come to the Gentiles, and then it has to go back from the Gentiles back to the house of Israel. That will complete this sign that he's saying we will know that his work has begun. So, part of it came forth at the time of the Book of Mormon, but part of it The part where it goes from the Gentiles back to the Lamanites started, but I don't believe complete. But I don't know. Verse 90. Now let me go back here and read the last part of verse 89. Verily, verily, I say unto you that when these things shall be made known unto them of the Father, and shall come forth of the Father from them unto you, for it is wisdom in the Father that they, which is the Gentiles, should be established in this land, and be set up as a free people by the power of the Father, that these things might come forth from them unto a remnant of your seed, that the covenant of the Father may be fulfilled, which he hath covenanted with his people, O house of Israel. Therefore, when these works and the work which shall be wrought among you hereafter shall come forth from the Gentiles unto your seed, which shall dwindle in unbelief because of iniquity, for thus it behooveth the Father that it should come forth from the Gentiles, that they may shew forth his power unto the Gentiles, for this cause that the Gentiles, if they will not harden their hearts, that they may repent and come unto me and be baptized in my name, and know the true points of my doctrine, that they may be numbered among my people. I'm sorry that it's not coming through very clear, I'm afraid, but he's given a sign that his work is going to begin, or has begun. And that sign is the coming forth of the Book of Mormon, and then that Book of Mormon being taken back to the house of Israel. But what I find it interesting is that it says in verse 92, it behooveth the Father that it should come forth from the Gentiles, that he may shew forth his power unto the Gentiles for this cause. So this coming forth of the Book of Mormon was done in a powerful way for the Gentiles so that they will be called to repentance. So the time for us to be repenting is now. We are to come to him and be baptized, to be obedient, to understand the true doctrines of his, or points of his doctrine. Verse 93, and when these things come to pass, that thy seed shall begin to know these things, it shall be a sign unto them, that they may know that the work of the Father hath already commenced unto the fulfilling of the covenant which he hath made unto the people which are of the house of Israel. So, what is this blessing? When is this time going to come to an end? We are not to know. But there are some things there that he's dropped that we need to keep in mind. And one of those is this marred servant. We're going to find out a little bit more about him. Let's read on verse 94. And when that day shall come, it shall come to pass that kings shall shut their mouths, for that which had not been told them shall they see. That's the same type of vernacular that he was using when he talked back there in verses 86 or so about this marred servant, that kings were going to shut their mouths. Verse 95. In that day, for my sake, shall the Father work a work which shall be great and a marvelous work among them, and there shall be among them which shall not believe it, though although a man shall declare it unto them. But behold, the life of my servant shall be in my hand. Therefore, they shall not hurt him, although he shall be marred because of them. Yet I will heal him, for I will shew unto them that my wisdom is greater than the cunning of the devil. Therefore, it shall come to pass that whosoever will not believe in my words, which am Jesus Christ, which the Father shall cause him to bring forth unto the Gentiles, and shall give unto him power that he shall bring them forth unto the Gentiles, it shall be done even as Moses said, they shall be cut off from among my people, which are of the covenant. I can't tell you who this marred servant is, exactly what he's going to do, but it does sound like this is the end of this window of opportunity for us to repent. When is it going to happen? 2020? I don't know. It's not for us to know. But it is for us to have in our minds that we cannot be procrastinating. And we cannot be helping God out in any way. He is the one that's going to do this. And we can just muddle up the water by coming to some type of conclusion on what this all means. But there is this overriding message in this prophecy that the Gentiles must repent, or we will have the sword of justice of the wrath of God poured out upon us. Verse 99, my people, which are a remnant of Jacob, shall be among the Gentiles, yea, in the midst of them, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, and as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he go through both teareth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Their hand shall be lifted up upon their adversaries, and all their enemies shall be cut off. Yea, woe be unto the Gentiles, except they repent. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds. I find that kind of interesting. We're going to come back to that aspect, but their cities are going to be destroyed. I'm going to jump down here to verse 104. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. The Gentiles are going to lose our cities. Remember that our substance is going to be given unto the Lord. There's still more about our cities. And it shall come to pass that all lying and deceivings and envyings and strifes and priestcrafts and whoredoms shall be done away. For it shall come to pass, saith the Father, that at that day whosoever will not repent and come unto my beloved Son, them will I cut off from among my people, O house of Israel, and I will execute vengeance and fury upon them, even as upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. But if they will repent and hearken unto my words, and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them. That's talking about the Gentiles. And they shall come unto the covenant and be numbered among this, the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance. This is with the destruction that's going to fall upon us, this wrath. There still is an opportunity for us to repent at that point and have the church established. We have nailed down some things that I think maybe shouldn't have been nailed down. I'll go on. Okay, I lost track of my thoughts here. I'll begin with verse 1. And if they will repent and hearken unto my words and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and they shall come in unto the covenant and be numbered among this the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance. And they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and also as many of the house of Israel as shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem. Now, I find that interesting that not only will there be the Lamanites and Nephites, but there's also other tribes of the house of Israel, as many as shall come into this continent or this nation, they will become a part that will build this New Jerusalem. Verse 3, and then shall they assist my people that they may be gathered in, which are scattered upon all the face of the land, in unto the New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and also I will be in the midst, and then shall the work of the Father commence at that day, even when this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people. Verily I say unto you, at that day shall the work of the Father commence among all the dispersed of my people, yea, even the tribes which have been lost, which the Father hath led away out of Jerusalem. Yea, the work shall commence among all the dispersed of my people with the Father to prepare the way whereby they may come unto me, that they may call on the Father in my name. Yea, and then shall the work commence with the Father among all nations in preparing the way whereby his people may be gathered home to the land of their inheritance. So this gathering in will take place, but there will be this end to the opportunity for the Gentile to repent. And they shall go out from all nations, and they shall not go out in haste, nor by flight, for I will go before them, saith the Father, and I will be their rearward. And then shall that which is written come to pass. And it goes into this poetic type of talk. I'm going to skip down to verse 11. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Again, talking about our cities that have been destroyed, that have set vacant, and now the house of Israel has moved in, and they are going to make our desolate cities to be inhabited. I'm going to skip down here. Let's go to verse 26. And now, behold, I say unto you that ye had ought to search these things. Yea, a commandment I give unto you, that ye search these things diligently. For great are the words of Isaiah. For surely he spake as touching all things concerning my people, which are the house of Israel. Therefore, it must needs be that he must speak also to the Gentiles. And so this prophecy is as much to us as it is to the house of Israel. And in fact, I think it's maybe more important to the Gentile than it is to them. They don't have a whole lot of say. They are waiting for this, and not consciously waiting for this gospel to be taken to them. It was our responsibility to do that. But if we don't repent, we're not going to be a part of it. And all things that he spake have been and shall be even according to the words which he spake. Therefore, give heed unto my word. Write the things which I have told you, and according to the time the will of the Father, they shall go forth unto the Gentiles. And whosoever will hearken unto my words and repenteth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. Search the prophets, for many there be that testify of these things. That's the prophecy. What does it mean? I don't know what it all means. It's not important. If I knew, I would either get depressed or I would try to help him out. And he doesn't need my muddling in his prophecies and his carrying forth of his work. He wants my heart. He wants my obedience. He wants my repentance, my humbleness. So, what is it that I must repent of? I want you to think about that. I have some sins. God has told me over and over. My pride. It stands in the way of everything. I'm a proud man. We are a proud nation. We are a proud church. We stand up and say that we are God's chosen. We need to repent and humble ourselves and ask him, what can I do? What do you want me to do? Where shall I go? Today is the sanctity of life Sunday. Roe versus Wade has killed 50 million of our children. Do I have ownership? Did I do everything that I was supposed to have done? Dealt with a family this week, destroyed over drugs and alcohol, fornication. What have I done to help stop that? What am I leaving my grandchildren? What do we repent of? I'm afraid the list is terribly long. I think probably to begin with, we need to get on our knees before God and humble ourselves and ask Him to show us exactly what He wants of us. But the window has an end. There will be a day when it's too late. And that's what this prophecy is about, that we repent. It's 2020, a new decade. It's an opportunity, because it's not too late yet.